Well, Michael and I would like to welcome you back to another recording of the Saturn Earth Connection. Our website is helloearth.info, and today is Tuesday, January 29th, 2013. And this is hour 173 with Michael from Maui, Hawaii. Michael was taken to a huge luminescent sphere near Saturn as a student visitor and returned to Maui with their amazing flowing dialogue, and now we hear from Sharon using Michael to transmit his voice into the recording. Hello, Michael.
Hello, Curtis, and the audio is a little bit poor right now, so let's see how it goes.
Okay, well, we had already started before, and it dropped out on us, so we're trying again, and I hope the audio stays with us. And GarageBand is doing something crazy. Oh, there. Good. All right. Now, sorry about the trouble, but I did want to mention that a couple weeks ago or last week, I'd mentioned about a 5-year-old piano prodigy. Well, I put those links on the listen page so you could go over there and see what I was talking about. And recently I was thinking of that image again from, I call it a NASA image, but it was not a NASA image. Are you still there, Michael?
Yes, I am. I have my mic on mute so that you sound better.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, anyway, on the NASA page, there's an image about halfway down the page of the New Jerusalem taken from a telescope. And there's green text that says, "One of the finest telescopes on Earth found this luminous object near Saturn. Note the three spheres." Well, I just felt like talking about this image again. But this image was sent to me. All of a sudden, this image appears in my email. Somebody from NASA sends me this image. I'm looking at it, and I don't recall how much time went by, but not much time went by, maybe 5 or 10 minutes or less, or just a short amount of time, and I get this phone call from this, she said her name was Jane Jones from JPL, and she said to disregard that last email I just got from her office, or from JPL, and so, right out of the box, I asked her, "Oh, is this a Cassini image? What's the number of the image?" And she said, "No, this is not a Cassini image. This is an image shot from a telescope on Earth." That's great information. I loved hearing that. Because there are the three sentinel globes, sentinel spheres around the architectural world are protected, just like Riley drew in his drawing. And there it is from Earth. And so we have a picture on Earth from it, and we have pictures from Cassini. And NASA probably has more pictures. And I hope our audio is doing good. Are you still there, Michael?
I am. And
okay,
I need a break. Pause it.
Okay, so Michael, do you want me to pause, Michael? No.
Pause the recording, please.
Okay, pause the recording. Hold on. All right, I just started the recording up again. We were having trouble, or Michael thought it was trouble in Hawaii. You thought maybe it was solar flares, Michael?
Well, I don't know. I just thought, this gave indications that it could have been related to power fluctuations, strange power fluctuations, which can be caused by a induced electromagnetic force into the grid, which can cause a unusual spike. Some of the communications equipment alarmed and went into a state of a null state. They weren't able to communicate anymore, so our our internet went crazy a little bit. Then it came back. Did it twice. So did some quick checks. It's all healed now. But
okay, and your volume really diminished.
Right now? Is it because I'm not talking as loud?
Maybe so.
Yeah. Thinking and talking at the same time.
Yep, I understand.
Okay, well, anyway, that's running a couple of different pathways here, and it seems to be okay. Because of the state of affairs of our present solar cycle, and the fact that I've experienced having a correlated effect in the power grid and electronics having some intermittent downtime, you know, they fail or go erratic. And I was thinking, well, maybe I'll check into some things. It didn't seem like the sun did anything special because usually you get a little bit of time to be warned if there's a solar flare or corona mass ejection. Solar flare will, of course, travel at the speed of light, where corona mass ejection will be much slower. Depends. Sometimes it can approach the speed of light, but you usually got a couple of days warning at least. But it's been clear, so it's something else. Maybe somebody did some kind of a quick switch on our fiber optic. Mm. Anyway, yeah.
Well, I have a comment from Len in Utah. And this is about what's in the Aranshi book on evolutionary will creatures. And briefly, he says, Michael has talked often of the octopus-type mortal he encountered. In the Aranshi book, it refers that all mortal types on all worlds are of the biped order. Your comment, please. And then he shows in the Aranshi book, paper 49, 4.1, it says, there are great differences between the mortals of different worlds, even among those belonging to the same intellectual and physical type, but all mortals of will dignity are erect animals, bipeds. So I guess he's asking, you know, why does the Aranshi book say everything has two legs? But we have octopus here on this planet, and are they referring to all? They're not referring to all animals, are they?
You have to remember that will creatures that are engaged are actually in tune. Well, not all will creatures are first of all, gifted with the ability to engage with and eventually fuse with the thought adjuster, the divine fractal. However, there are many living beings, creatures of non-biped order that engage in high-level thought. And many times, various levels of telepathic communication. The great gigantic octopus was given an experience to observe an intelligent being, an animal. Of his classification being intelligent enough to at least communicate with me. And being of such an order of lifespan was much longer than our present octopus here, you know, on our planet. It's theorized that if our octopus, most of the octopus here that we end up with, even the giant ones, live no more than a few years. But if they were given a chance to live, let's say, you know, 50 years, they'll be extremely intelligent and have the ability to function. Eventually, becoming bipedal, believe it or not. Even though they may not have skeletal structure, they will become bipedal. And this is the amazing things about an octopus. An octopus can walk, even if it has 8 legs. If you've ever seen an octopus walk, it'll get up stiff and move 4 tentacles at a time in a bipedal fashion. So, and this is something that I've seen, because a lot of times you think them just climbing and kind of slimy and crawling on the ground. But there are pictures, actually movies that I've seen. Now, I didn't witness it for myself. When they escape from my fish box, you know, my cooler, they just sort of like kind of crawl under the lid and slide down and then crawl toward the ocean and dump themselves back in. But there's been one nice image, a bit of video that was shot, actually a movie that was shot of a very large one out of on Oahu, caught on a camera, which literally crossed the road to get back into the ocean. It was, yeah, and it crossed the road, not by slithering or crawling. Wow. It got up on its tentacles and they amassed together in a bipedal fashion and walked across the road. It was amazing. And, wow. You know, there were a couple others that said the large ones, the big ones that get over 10 pounds, you know, they tend to be able to do that. Now, this is a pretty amazing thing. But if you ever watched them on the sand, in the water, in the sand, and you see them moving around, they don't work their tentacles, independently all the time. You know, sometimes they stick one out because they only want to risk one tentacle because somebody might bite it off. But when they're moving around, they move in a walk on the bottom of the ocean. And sometimes it approaches bipedal. Other times it looks like they're just sort of scooting on a skateboard. One leg, you know, pushing in the other one in front. Mm-hmm. And yeah. So you might call that bipedal. So in any case, when you look at that, the Urantia book also says one of the interesting things is that for whatever life form there it may be, if a predominant life form is of a particular kind, let's say a cat is the one that will become. So a cat will become bipedal and then will retain the appearance of a cat somewhat, but have a much larger brain and function and intelligence and be able to engage in, become a person, you know, really a person to have a discussion with. And it's not only dog was a given indicator. However, one of the problems they had in the earlier levels of development was in the reptilian types, whose brains levels retain many of the primal features, making them somewhat more aggressive and less able to engage in the higher level associations of dignity and divinity. So the reptilian types tend to be more difficult to engage in with a thought adjuster. But they end up going from quadrupedal. And of course, you know, like the Tyrannosaurus Rex is the famous one, it's bipedal, right? But you can see that they make the transition. Even though the octopus may have 8 legs, and some of them have much less than 8 legs, they can actually function in that, like a bipedal format, especially in the ocean, where they live. So that big, gigantic octopus that I did see, and his huge eye that I looked into, and intelligence, that he was able to make a comment. I just thought it was just an oversized squid. But when I said we eat small ones like that, and I like to eat them, he said, when he said, "Oh, you look pretty good to eat myself." Then I jumped up, turned around. My goodness, I looked at him and said, "Oh, I sure hope you're not bringing him to live in our oceans. He'll eat every whale in the ocean."
And he was that big?
That big. He was bigger than a whale. Bigger than the giant squid.
Oh, I didn't know he was bigger than whales.
Yeah. I've gone to, because of that memory being, I'd go to the whales off here in Maui. I've got skeletons of whales on display all over the place. And I just go, oh, he was bigger than this. He could eat a whale. So, yeah. But he was the last of his kind, according to Riley Martin. Hmm. I didn't spend much time. I was just being introduced to the various life forms, and one with no skeletal structure, and then of course one of the most glorious ones of all was the knight, the one that looked like a knight in golden armor and sitting high on a throne, because I remember looking way up at him and having rainbows all around him, colorful lights, you know, just radiating around him. I thought he was God, you know. It came to, this must be God, because he's so glorious and golden, you know. And I was about to get on all fours and be like an Islamic or a Muslim and bow down. Mm. But just as I was approaching a bow, like how the Japanese bow, just with a nod of their head somewhat, he bowed before me. And I said, he bowed to me. I didn't bow to him. He bowed to me first. And I was at awe. And his radiance grew, and his light grew brighter and more glorious. And I was badly mistaken. I thought he was God because of that glorious appearance. But he was a leader, exoskeletal. The closest resemblance to any of the insect world would be like a praying mantis. But very giant praying mantis. You know, an 8-foot praying mantis, 10-foot praying mantis.
I don't remember you talking about a golden armored knight before.
Well, that's what exoskeletal beings of high order, will beings look like, of this particular one that I was introduced to. I don't remember his name. Yeah. I just remember being glorious and how he represented. Immediately, you feel the dignity of the individual is very dignified. Yeah. I didn't converse with him. I like I said, I was badly mistaken. I thought it was God. Yeah. And then I was corrected. My graduate guide, my friend, he's 10 years old. He looked like a 10-year-old, but he was like 300 or something years old. But he said he's not God. And of course, when he bowed before me, instead of I bowing before him, I got the message that he wanted to share.
Wow, that's interesting. So that he was an exoskeleton being.
Yeah. right? And, you know, we call them insects, but I didn't see, you know, all those legs. He looked like he had two main legs, you know, that I could see, and two arms, and of course, a cape. And around his belly was like, oh, yeah, like all golden color. His eyes were red, big red, beautiful iridescent eyes, colorful. And from them, all the different colors surrounded him too. I'm not sure if it's because they reflected off of his eyes or his eyes projected that colors.
Well, too bad you didn't have a camera with you to
take these. Yeah, that's just these pictures. Yeah, it'll be like quite a photograph.
Yeah, but no one would believe it anyway.
Yeah, because we could, you know. That's Walt Disney World, whatever. Make one. No problem. You know, make a CGI, make one. No problem. But, it's not a big deal to try to make one, that, you know, from a description. But a living being of that order is something to see. And there are not, even if it's very clear, and the way he behaved toward me, that I was not to think of him as anybody superior to us or any kind of God at all. Just another one of the gang, us people.
Mm-hmm. In their group.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure they're like the famous ones we know about, the ones that are evil, we call them demons. And I'm glad I didn't have to meet any of them. Although I did battle with them with the help and the aid of our celestial friends. And they always lose.
What do you mean they always lose?
Well, if they try to take me on, I have my friends, right? So they always lose to the celestials. They either run away or they just won't bother anymore. Yeah, right. But I didn't get to see any mortal being of evil one. I think when it really comes right down to it, we the human race, there's so many people who actually will and invite the evil into their lives for selfish gain and for control and for power, for fame. And they invite these fallen angels who have a unique ability to arrange circumstance and events so that they can actually come through with their end of the bargain, which is like if they wanted to be rich, but they want to serve these evil entities, these fallen demons, the demons actually come through with their side of the bargain. It's just a hate to see what happens with the human being who chooses them at the end, because it's not a pretty picture, I think. Because there are many, when you look at that concept of the little boy that plays the piano you're talking about.
Yes.
One of the ways in which that kind of ability can be transferred to a young person and them not necessarily learning it at all, but just having that ability is through the divine fractal. But such a thought adjuster that would come in would not be virgin, would not have no life experience. Such a one would come into a person having tremendous life experience and be able to share it with his new partnered mortal being. But the one he was partnered with before means that they have essentially given up they're terminated. The process of termination is progressive. The progressive termination process is a matter of continual choice, because the desire is that no one mortal should ever choose termination. But in changing the attitude, the process is severe sometimes. That's why the descriptions of hell come through, because that's where sometimes people go to get their attitude changed. But it's for progressive change until they finally say, forget it. No, I don't. That's absolutely just terminated. And the thought adjuster is released, and the soul is expired. But it's progressive. It's just that attitude, that change, how the attitude is changed. It's not necessarily an easy place to be. We go through that in our lives. Types of small personal living hells, in other words, where our areas in our character that need to be chipped away, you know, like a diamond getting its new facet ground away. We suffer sometimes in those periods where foolish pride is dissolved under the grinding wheel of life, and that sometimes it seems like a living hell. There's this famous way of people say, bad things can happen to good people, but there's a reason for that, because there's no good except the Father, the first source and center. And because of that, sometimes we don't really understand, but as we approach, especially the inner three circles of psychic and development and psychic attainment, these are guided sometimes by a partnered hand who realizes that we cannot enter into a higher level state while carrying around with us some bit of our character that needs to be removed. But when the whole soul is then chosen on essentially a rebellious choice, a rebellious alignment, and we become allied with the fallen ones, then the process of attitude adjustment can be very, 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 very hard. But most of us will choose the righteous way. Those who are deceived, even those who are deceived into thinking we only go around once in life and that's all there is, and you just might as well get all the gusto, get all what you can while you're alive. Find out that even when you finally do get to a certain level, it doesn't fill the true void that is in there, which is alignment to the Father, the first source and center. And that is the only one that will fill that void. And then people I've talked to and explained immediately change their ways and their appreciation of life and its purpose. So anyway, that's a little bit of the answer for, bipedal walk and mortal concept. But all mortals, all life is developed from the most primal, most basic, elementary forms of life, and are made for the ascension process. But we, as the mortal creatures, mortal will creatures, have attained the ability to escape the lower four dimensional properties of where we are locked into and attain the remaining seven levels of divinity attained.
Wow, that's beautiful. Did I lose you, Michael? Hello? Oh. There it goes again. Hold on, folks. All right, we're back and recording again, and it seems that we're having more trouble than we can record with. So we will make this recording today a little shorter than usual, and we'll get back to, I was actually asking Tony's question about the higher mind, and that's not going to work very well when we're having audio trouble. So, Michael, we'll talk to you next Tuesday. Is that good?
That's good.
Great. It'll be February then.
All right.
All right. So, aloha early.
Aloha.
Aloha, Michael. See you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.